Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasu Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We are holding on Daf Kuf Chav Vav Amid Beis, four lines from the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Ami, four lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and honor of his wife and children, Ali and Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha Al Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadi, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should all return home safely. It's also sponsored anonymously in gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the continued Refuah Shleima of Nava Gavriela Bas Naomi Tova, and in honor of her sixth birthday, she should continue to live many years in good health. And it is also sponsored by someone who's donating a kidney today, that he should the surgery should go well. He and his recipient should both be zocha to a refuah shleima bekarov. So what we're going to talk about today is first we're going to discuss five ways that a tumtum who is later discovered to be a male does not have the din of a zachar. So we reject one of those ways with the tiyufta, another one with the kasha, but we're going to try to identify five different ways that a tumtum who we later open up and discover that he's a male but didn't always know that he was a male, in a certain that there are five ways that he made five halachos for which he does not have a din of a zachar, even though intuitively you would think, okay, now that we opened up him up and we know that he's a male, you would think he would have a din of a zachar l'kol davar. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if there is a way to have pishnayim when we aren't certain which guy is the bechar. Meaning, is there a way to somehow divert some of the Yerusha away from the other children when we're not sure whether son one or son two is the bechar? Can there still be pishnayim at the expense of sons 3, 4, 5, and 6, or whatever? So the Gemara is going to make a distinction between a case where we never knew that which one was the Bukhar, and a case where we did know and now we don't know which one is a Bukhar. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the nemanus of a father about the identity of his child. Is a father believed to identify his son as a Bukhar when previously another son had been muhsak as the Bukhar? Can the father say, yeah, you just always thought that one was the Bukhar because he's the biggest one, but he's not really the oldest, or he's not really mine? Or so is there a way to identify someone, is the father believed to identify one son as a Bukhar, even when someone else was previously muhsak as a Bukhar? And once we're on the topic of ne'amanus of a father, the Gemara is going to talk about if a man is believed to change his mind, whether the person accompanying him is his eved or his son. That one day he says, oh, this young man is my son. And then the next day he said, oh, I was just kidding, he's an eved, or vice versa. So is he ne'aman to change his mind about the identity of someone that's with him? So let's begin, again, four lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Kuf Chavav Amud Beis, and we start the discussion with a tumtum. Amar Rabbi Ami, tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zachar. If you have a tumtum where you can't tell the gender of the person, but then they do a surgery where they open him up and they're able to see, they're able to positively identify that he is a zachar, eino notal pishnayim, he doesn't get pishnayim in his father's Yerusha. Da'amar Krab, even though now we know he's a zachar. Da'amar Krab, because the pasuk says, v'ya bein ha-bechar l'sniya, ad shiyahei ben mishas havaya. It says v'haya bein, which means he has to have been clearly identified as a son from the Shas Havaya. Shas Havaya is Leda. And since at the time that he was born, the doctor said, it's a baby, I don't know, right? He couldn't identify that it was a son or a boy or a girl. So that was not identified, Mishas Havaya, and therefore he's not eligible for Pishnaim. Rashbam writes, and Kal v'chomer, an androgynous, it's never going to be clarified because he's got both Zachros and Nakvos. He has Simonim of both. So it's never going to be clarified. So that for sure, he's not going to get Pishnaim. A tum where he could one day clarify that he's a Zachar, even after clarifying that he's Zachar, he's not going to get Pishnaim. The Rashash wonders why the Rashbam has to say this, meaning Yimanavshuch with the androgynous. If there's another son, the androgynous doesn't get anything because it's Motzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. The other son will say to the androgynous, prove to me that you're a male, and if you can't prove that you're a male, you don't get any Yerusha. And if there's no other son, there's only other daughters, so if he's a Zachar, he would Yimanavshuch. If he were a Zachar, he'd be Yorish everything, right? Because there are no other boys. And if he's in the Keva, there's no Din Bechora whatsoever. So what's the discussion even about Pishnayim when it comes to an androgynous? The discussion would never even get off the ground. So the Rashash is troubled why the Rashbam has to bring androgynous into the picture over here, if not just for the fact that every time we mention Tumtum, we always seem to mention androgynous. But it's not really an issue over here.
Second halacha relating to a tumtum, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Af Einu Nidon Keben Soru More, that a child who was born as a tumtum and then was later revealed to be a zachar can never become a ben Soru More. Damar Krakus, the pasuk says, Ki Yihiye Leish Bein Soru More, Ache Bein Misha Savaya. That means he has to have been a ben from the time of Havaya, from the time that he was born. And if he was not clearly identifiable as a ben from the time that he was born, then the whole parsha, Ben Soru More, this is yet another limitation on the parsha of Ben Soru More. Then the whole parsha of Ben Soru More does not apply to him. That's how the Rashbam seems to understand. The Rambam writes that, no, it doesn't mean Mishas Leida, Ad Shiyah Ben Mishas Hasra'a, the Rambam says. Why would the Leida matter in terms of Ben Soru More? Ben Soru More is from the time that they first warn him that he's going to, that he can't do what he can't continue these behaviors. When the parsha of Ben Soru More starts, so that's not Shas Leida, that's the Shas Hasra'a, right? The Mishnayis and Masech Sanhedrin go through how a person becomes a Ben Soru More. So they warn, he eats a Tartim Arbasar and a Chatzilug Yayin, or perhaps different amounts, Machlokas Tanayim, and then they give him Hasra'a, and they bring him to a basin of three judges, and they give him Malkus, and then those same three are, then he does it again, and then those same three are on the Sanhedrin of Chav Gimel, that ultimately are Mechayiv Himisa. The whole process only starts with Hasra, so it would not be based on the Shas Leida. So that seems to be Machlokas Rishon, whether it's from whether the fact that we didn't know his gender Mishas Leida already disqualifies him, or only not knowing his gender Mishas Hasra disqualifies him from being a Ben Soru More. But be that as it may, that's a second halacha about a tumtum who we later discovered to be a male. Third halacha, a Meimar Amar, Af Einu Mima'it Chelek Bechora. A tumtum that's not a bechor, he's just a pashut, and it turns out that they open him up and he's a zachar, he's not mima'it the chelek bechora. Meaning over here we're not talking about a firstborn tumtum, that's what we were talking about previously. Now we're talking about another child, one of the other children is a tumtum. So if there, let's say there are three sons, there's a bechor, a pashut, and this tumtum, who later we discover is a zachar. And the father left nine units of Yerusha, whatever, 9 acres of land. So the Bechor gets 1/3 of it, 3 acres of land for his chelek bechora, and as if there were no tumtum, as if it were just him and the pashut. Meaning, if it were just him and the pashut, the bechor would get 6, and the pashut would get 3. Why would the bechor get 6? 3 as his chelek pashut, and 3 as his chelek bechora. So his chelek bechora he gets pretending there is no tumtum, right? We just give him his chelek bechora off the bat. He gets 3 units. The remaining 6 are divided evenly between the 3 of them. Then the tumtum comes back in the picture, and we view him as if he is here. So he because we now know that he's a male. So that gets split evenly between the 3 of them. So the remaining 6 is 2 for each of them. So it would turn out that the Bukhar is going to get 5 units, and each of the others are going to get 2 units of the Yerusha. Shenemar, because the pasuk says v'yoldelo banim. The pasuk says v'yoldelo banim. Ahuva v'asura ve'ben v'chor l'sniya. So it talks about pishnayim in the pasuk of v'yoldelo banim. Ache ben mishas leida, he only is going to get pishnayim, he's only going to get the chelek bechora if he were a ben mishas leida, but he was not known to be a ben at the time of the leida, so he's not, as far as bechora is concerned, he's not going to be mema'it the bechor, he's not going to be mema'it from the bechor his chelek bechora. He will be mema'it from the bechor his chelek pashut, right, because this tumtum is a son in the end of the day. So as far as regular dinam, regular Yerusha, that he's going to be in the Cheshbon, but as far as Chelek Bechora, he's not going to be in the Cheshbon. This is only true, says the Adrama, though, if there are 3 brothers, right? There's the Bechor, the Pashut, and the Tumtum. But if it was only 2 brothers, a Bechor and a Tumtum, there was no other guy in between them, it was just the Bechor and the Tumtum, we would not say that as far as the Chelek Bechora, the Tumtum is viewed as if he's not here, and the Bechor therefore gets half of the Yerusha for his Chelek Chelik Bechora, and the second half of the Yerusha they split between them. Rather, it would just have a regular status of a Bechor Upashut. Meaning, if it were just the two of them, a Bechor and the Tumtum, the Bechor would get 6 units, the Tumtum would get 3 units, and that would be the Tumtum, who we now know is a Zachar, would get 3 units. And the reason for that is, says the Avrama, is if you're going to say that we view the Tumtum as if he's not there, then there is no Chelik Bechora. Because if the Tumtum weren't there, there's only one Chelik of Yerusha. Everything would go to the Bechor. So it's, you can't say that there's a way to view Chelik Bechora if he is in the picture, and a way to view Chelik Bechora if he's not in the picture. If he's not in the picture, there's no Chelik Bechora at all. The entire Yerusha would go to the Bechor. So that's why Dafka, the case is where there are 3 sons, where there's going to be a Chelik Bechora, it's just a matter of how to measure it. So that's the case that we have in the Gemara. That's the case that Amemar was talking about. A 4th halachic ramification of a Tumtum who's later discovered to be a Zachar, Rav Shizbi Amar Af Einu Nima L'Shmona, that if his if a baby's born on Shabbos, he does not get a bris on Shabbos, even though day 3 or 4 of his life we discovered that he's in fact a Zachar. He was born a Tumtum, we find his Zachrus when he's a few days old, so that coming Shabbos when he's 8 days old, we're not Docha Shabbos with his Mila. Damar Krakus, the Pasuk says Isha Ki Sazria V'Yolda Zachar U'Beyom Hashmini Yimol Adshei Zachar Mishas Leida. So it has to be V'Yolda Zachar, that he was a Zachar already, identifiable as a Zachar already at the time of Leida. If he was not identifiable as a Zachar at the time of Leida, but he's later identified as a Zachar, you do have to give him a Mila, but that Mila is not going to be Docha Shabbos. We're not going to do that Mila on Shabbos. And then a 5th and final halach ramification of someone who's born a Tumtum and then later his gender is discovered. Rav Shravya Amar Af Ein Imo Tumea Leida. His mother, it does not have Tumas Leida. Davar Kra Isha Ki Sazria V'Yolda Zachar V'Tama Shivas Yamim. It says that if a woman has a Zachar baby, so then she's Tumei for 7 days. So that implies Ad She Zachar Mishas Leida. He has to have been identifiable as a Zachar from the time of Leida. Now, in this case, even if you were to later discover that he's a Nekeva, the mother would not be Tumea Leida. Nekeva, when a woman gives birth to a Nekeva, it's 2 weeks of Tuma, because the Pasuk says, V'im Nekeva Teleid, V'tama Shvuayim Kanidasa, that if it's a Nekeva Teleid, then she's going to be Tumea for two weeks. So again, over there, for that halacha to kick in, it also needs to be that Mishas Leida was identifiable as a Nekeva. This baby was identifiable as neither Mishas Leida, and therefore the mother does not have the Tumah of 7 days of a Zachar, nor the Tumah of 14 days of a Nekeva, which would mean she would just have regular Halachos, that if she bleeds, she's a Nida. If she doesn't bleed, she's not a Nida. There's no automatic Tumah. Normally the Halachos, the Torah tells us that the Halacha is Isha Ki Sazria, Parsha Sazria, that if a woman gives birth to a baby boy, she's Tumah for 7 days, and then the following 33 days, she's Torah regardless of how much she bleeds. If she gives birth to a girl, it's 14 days of Tumah, and the following 66 days, she's Tahar regardless of how much she bleeds. So that initial 1 week period of Tumah for a boy or 2 week period of Tumah for a girl does not apply if at the time the baby was born we couldn't identify the gender of the baby. So Meisve, the Gemara challenges Rav Shravya, this last halacha, the Gemara challenges from a Mishnah in Nida. Again, we just said what the halacha is, that for a boy it's 7 days, and then from day 7 to day 40, the woman is not Tumea at all. For a girl, it's 14 days of Tumah. Then from 14 to day 80, not Tumea at all. So the Mishnah says, Hamapeles Tumtum Bandrogonus. If a woman has a Hapala, she miscarries a Tumtum or an Androgynous, Teshev Lezachar Ulinakeva. So she has to observe the Chumras of both Zachar and Nekeva. Because so long as we don't identify the gender of the Tumtum, it's a Suffolk Zachar, Suffolk Nekeva, and that has the same status as an androgynous is a Suffolk Zachar, Suffolk Nekeva, and therefore the mother has to be machmir in both directions, to be mitami herself the maximum and be mitahar herself the minimum. So therefore, for 2 weeks she has Tumas Leida as if it were a Nekeva, but the Yemei Toar only stretched to day 40. So only from day 14 to from day 15 to day 40 will she have Yemei Tohar. But you see that we do give her Tumas Leida of 2 weeks, We're machmir on the tumas leida instead of just saying there's no tumas leida. So tiyufta to Rav Shavia. So that's a real kasha in Rav Shavia, because Rav Shavia said if the baby's born as a tumtum, even if you discover its gender later on, there's not going to be tumas leida. For sure, if you don't discover its gender later on, so there's not going to be tumas leida. So tiyufta, that's taka tiyufta. We don't have an answer for that, and we therefore reject Rav Shavia because he's against the naf in the Mishnah in Maseches Nida. Says the Gemara, is that the only one of the five halach ramifications of a tumtum who we later discover is gender that we can reject? Maybe we should say that Mishnah is also a kasha on Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi is the one that said that a tumtum who we later discover is gender cannot have a bris mila on Shabbos, because if we're going to darshan v'yolda zachar, which to mean that he has to be a zachar mishas leida, and only then we have a mila b'shmini, so we should darshan the same way legabi tumas leida, because it's in the same pasuk. And since the Mishnah tells me that we don't darshan that legabi tumas leida, that legabi tumas leida, we're willing to say that the mother's going to have tumas leida, even though we didn't know the gender of the child at the time of birth. So then we should say that mila b'shmini happens, even if we don't know the gender of the child at the time of birth. It's all the same pasuk. So it should the two should be bound together. So says we are, no, we don't have a kasha from our Mishnah on Rav Shizvi, because Tanis Fuke Misafkle. It could be that the Tan of the Mishnah wasn't sure whether this drasha was a binding drasha, was a valid drasha, or an invalid drasha. The Rashbam points out, and if it's an invalid drasha, what will you darshan from the pasuk? Rashbam says what the Gemara Nida darshans. Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Aleph says that if a woman is Mazra Astchila, she's going to be Yoleda Zachar. So that's what we darshan from that pasuk. So I don't know. I don't know necessarily that we can make this drasha, that this whole pasuk only applies if mishas leida you were already able to identify the gender of the baby. So since we don't know ulechumra, that the title of the Mishnah may have been going lechumra and saying, look, as far as tumas leida, you're going to have to be machmir and assume that she's tumas leida of a that she has tumas leida, and since we don't know if it's a boy or a girl, the tumas leida of a nekeva. But as far as being mekil to ulei be mechal Shabbos to do a bris milah on Shabbos, I'm not confident enough that we don't make this drasha to let you go be Mechal Shabbos. And therefore, we have to be choshesh that the drasha does exist and you can't do the Mila on Shabbos. That could be the attitude of the Tana, and therefore the Tana is not a kasha on Rav Shizvi, it's only a kasha on Rav Shravya, who was Mekel based on the drasha. So, frankly, Mar Ihachi, Teshu Lezachar Ulinakeva, if it was really based on the Safek and not because the Tana was absolutely certain that this woman has Tumas Leida, then it shouldn't have said Teshel Zachar in the Keva, that you take the Chumras of whether it's a Zachar in the Keva, because there's a third possibility. Third possibility is there's no Tumas Leida whatsoever, that because you just don't apply Tumas Leida when you don't know the gender of the baby at the time of birth, and therefore she would have the status of a regular woman, who when she bleeds, she's a Nida, when she doesn't bleed, she's not a Nida. And the Mishnah should have said that. The Mishnah should have said, Teshev Lezachar Ulan Keva Ula Nida, meaning nafkamina would be if at some point between day 15 and day 40 she bleeds, is she Tameh? If you're only going to say that she takes on the chumras of having had a zachar and the chumras of having had in the keva, well, any time between day 15 and day 40, are you made tohar mimanavshach? And if she bleeds, she's going to be tohar. But if you have to be choshish that she has no dinim of yumei tumah and yumei tahara, then if she bleeds between day 15 and day 40, she's a regular nida. So we should have to be machmir in that regard. And the Mishnah doesn't say that. So kasha. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's a kasha in Rav Shizvi, and therefore Rav Shizvi is somewhat against the Mishnah. Now the Rashbam points out, the Gemara says kasha doesn't say tiyufta because it's not as strong a kasha, because it's not that the Mishnah said something that's directly against Rav Shizvi. The Mishnah just should have been more clear. It should have said something else that would have made more clear that we that Rav Shizvi is correct. Now, if the girsa of the Mishnah would have been Teshev Lezachar, and that's the other thing the Rashbam points out, and maybe that is the girsa. Maybe we just missed a word in our girsa of the Mishnah, and it should have said Teshev Lezachar in the Keva Ulanida. Now, if that were the girsa of the Mishnah, Teshev Lezachar in the Keva Ulanida, it would also be a little strange, because what does Lezachar add to the picture? Meaning, once you're saying that she has to be Machmir Nikeva and Nida, so Nikeva already tells you the first 2 weeks she's tamei, right? And Nida will tell you that any time after the first 2 weeks, if she bleeds, she's tamei. So what does Zachar do for you, right? If it were about Zachar and the Keva, what Zachar would do for you is day 40 to day 80. That if she bleeds during that time, that she's tamei. But if you're anyway concerned that she's regular Nida, if she bleeds during between day 40 and day 80, she's anyway going to be tamei. So what does Zachar really add to the picture? So the Achronim point out, the Rishonim point out, the Rashbam points out, based on the Gemara Nida, it's a complicated discussion, so we're not going to get into the details, that Chaps and Afkamina as far as figuring out Ziva and Nida, that when the Yemei Nida are, when the Yemei Ziva are, that in Halacha, we view there's such a thing called the Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida Lenida. There are 11 days within a cycle where if a woman bleeds, she's not going to be considered a Nida, she's going to be considered a Zava. And a Zava has its Tamei, but has its own set of rules. Sometimes it requires Shiv Nikim, sometimes only requires one day, if it's Zava Gedola versus Zava Katana. Whereas a Nida, we know, is always Tamei for 7 days. So had a Cheshbon, whether these are Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva, that's where Chaps and Nafkamina, that we're Machmir, that it's Zachar. Because bleeding that's going to happen between day 40 and day 80, how do I view that bleeding? Do I view that as Nida bleeding, or do I or between day 15 and day 40 rather, do I view that as Nida bleeding, or do I view that as Yimei Tohar of a Zachar, and that will Chapa Nafkamina, how her cycle starts up again, and how we Cheshbin the Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida L'Nida. Okay, so that was topic number one in our daf, 5 halach ramifications of a tumtum was only later discovered to be a Zachar, where we say he does not have the full din of a Zachar. Now, topic number two. Amar Rav Tani Kavaseid Rabbi Ami, that we have a brisa that suggests like Rabbi Ami, that if you have a Bukhar, that's a tumtum that's later found out to be a Zachar, that he doesn't get Pishnayim in the Yerusha, because Ben Velo Tumtum, Bukhar Velo Safek, it says that we darshan Ben Mishas Leda gets Pishnayim, but not if he's a Tumtum, was only later discovered to be a Zachar, and we darshan Bukhar Velo Safek, a Safek Bukhar does not get Pishnayim. So Bishlam of Ben Velo Tumtum Kedrabi Ami. I understand exactly what the drasha of Ben Velo Tumtum is teaching me, exactly what Rabbi Ami taught me, that even though we do surgery later when we find that the kid is a Zachar, he does not get Pishnayim. What's the Brisa telling me that a Suffolk Bechor does not get Pishnayim? Of course he doesn't get Pishnayim. He doesn't have a Raya that he's a Bechor. Why would he get Pishnayim? So Lafuke Didarish Rava is coming to tell me against what Rava darshaned. Didarish Rava, Rava darshaned that Shtei Noshim. Let's say you have two wives of the same man that both have a baby boy in hiding somewhere, and we have no idea which of these baby boys were born first. Now, one of them is a Bechor Liaviv, and the other one's not, but we don't know which woman's son is a Bechor Liaviv. It doesn't really have to be two women. That overcomplicates the case. It could have been one woman gives birth to twins. It was dark. We mixed them up. We don't know which of the boys is the... The point is not about the women, how many women there are. The point is how many sons there are. So we don't know which son is the Bukhar, which son is not the Bukhar. So the halacha is that, and let's say there are 10 other boys that are born later. So, if there's no Bukhar, everything's going to have to be split evenly. Now, these two brothers say, look, one of us is a Bukhar. We're both going to lose out if we don't identify either one of us as a Bukhar. So better for, for us to say, for us to join forces and say, look, one of us is a Bukhar, so give us the chelik of Pishnayim, and we'll figure out between the two of us how to divide that chelik of Pishnayim. But we certainly don't want to divide it 12 ways with our 10 other brothers. So what you could do is kosven harsha'a zelazeh, that one of them will write a shtar harsha'a to be tovea the chelik b'chora to the other one, meaning he'll say, you could be tovea the chelik b'chora on my behalf. So Reuven will come and he'll say, I'm being tovea my chelik b'chora. We'll say, but we don't know you're a b'chor. Shimon might be the b'chor. I'm being tovea on him. I have a power of attorney from Shimon that I'm being tovea on behalf of him, and therefore Levi Yehuda and all the others don't get any part of that chelik b'chor. They only get a regular chelik pashut, because mimanavshuch, he's representing the b'chor. The Rashbam says over here, and we know that a b'chor owns his portion prior to the chalukah, and that's why he's able to be makna his chelik b'chor to the other party, to go and represent him. Tosos in Dibur Maskel Midarash, the only Tosos on the page, is bothered by that Rashbam. He says, what do you mean? Rav Papa held within the sheet of Rava that a Bechor does not own his portion, Kodem Chalukah. And over here, Rava and Rav Papa are the ones that are donning on this Harsha'ah. So Tosos says, no, you're not being Makned Chelek Bechor. You're making him your Shliach to be Tovea for you, the Chelek Bechor. There's a Machlok Samaroy, Mesech Baba Kama, how Harsha'ah works, whether it's Shlichus or Hakna'a. We paskin that it's shlichus. It's a power of attorney. I'm not being makna to you something. I don't own it. I'm not my chelik b'chori yet until the time of the chalukah. But I'm allowing you to represent me to be toveya that chelik b'chori. That's how Tosus understands, not like the Rashbam. So now, Misvara, this makes a lot of sense. But the Brisa darshins from the fact that it says Bukhar, that this is not correct, that it's Xeris HaKasuv, that if we don't know Bishas Leda that he's a Bukhar, then there simply is not Bishnayim, and therefore you can't be Toveya on behalf of the other party. This whole Harsha won't work according to this Brisa. So again, we had a Brisa that had a Drasha that Ben Velo Tumtum and Bukhar Velo Safek. I know what Ben Velo Tumtum means. That's what the first 20 minutes of the Shir today were about. But what's Bukhar Velo Safek teaching me? So now we say, this is what Bukhar Velo Safek is teaching me, that if the first two sons that were born, we're not sure which one is the Bukhar, it's a Safek, which one is the Bukhar, they cannot write Arsha to each other against what Rava says. They're not able to write Arsha to each other to go and collect the Chelek Bukhara and figure it out between them. So I'm of Papa Rava. Rav Papa says to Rava at the time that he darshened this halacha, that they could write this Shtar Hasha'ah, Vashalach Ravin Davarzeh, Ravin taught us this drasha of Bukhar Velo Safek, and Shalti Lekol Ravosei Velo Amrili Davar, and I was wondering what it means, Bukhar Velo Safek, and no one was, and I asked all my Rebbeim, no one was able to respond to me, Biram Kachomru Mishum Rabbi Yanai, until I finally hit on what Rabbi Yanai explained, that Hukru Lebesofnis Arvu, Kosvin Harsha Zelazeh, Lo Hukru, Ein Kosvin Harsha Zelazeh, that it all depends. Did they once know who the Bukhar was? If at the time of the birth they knew who the Bukhar was, and then later the babies got confused, they were identical twins, and we got confused, we don't know which one is which now, but at the time of the birth they identified one as the Bukhar, they put a mark on his wrist or something, they said, okay, this one is the Bukhar, and then he tore it off at some point, you know, as a toddler, and now they're identical, we don't know which one is which, so then they could write Arsha'ah, because then one of them is actually entitled to the Chelik Bukhar, so they could write Arsha'ah one to the other, and they could be Tovei the Chelik Bukhar. But if at the time of the birth they didn't even know who was the Bukhar, they gave birth in a dark room, you were never able to look at a baby and say, this is the Bukhar, so then they cannot write Arsha'ah Zelazeh. So Hadar Uki Rava Amora Alei Vidarash. So Rava later got up publicly and he darshened Dvarm Shamati Lcham, that which I told you previously, that whenever you're not sure which one is the Bukhar, they could just write a Harsha'ah and be Toveya that Chelek, Tosei Biyadi. That was a mistake. It's more nuanced than that. Biram Kachar Mishum Rabbi Yanai, I now agree to what Rabbi Yanai said, that Hukru Lusof Nisarvu, Kosin Harsha'ah Zelazeh. If they once knew which one is the Bukhar, then they could write a Harsha'ah one to the other. Lo Hukru, Ain Kosra Shah Zelazeh, but if they never knew which one was the Bukhar, so then we have this drasha, Bukhar Velo Safek, that if we don't know at the time of the Leita that he was a Bukhar, so a Safek Bukhar is not entitled to Pishnaim, it's Xeris HaKasuv, even though it's not Mistaber, right? Somebody's the Bukhar, so it's not Mistaber, but he's not entitled to Pishnaim. So now the Gemara moves on to a third topic. Shalchle B'nei Akra Da Agma, the B'nei Akra Da Agma sent, L'Shmuel, sent the following Shaila to Shmuel, Yilam Denu Rabbeinu, Hayu Mukh Zakin Bezeshu Bukhar. Let's say we always thought of one of the children as a Bukhar. V'amar aval acher Bukharhu. And then the father one day comes along and says, no, that's not my oldest. The other one is my oldest son. So Mahu, what's the halacha? We have a halacha that a father is generally believed to say that his son is a Bukhar, but does that ne'amanus work even against Mukhzakin, that another one is a Bukhar, when we always assumed that another one is a Bukhar, when we always had a chazaka based on a kol, that another one was a Bukhar. So Shalchu Luhu, so Shmuel said, we're not sure, and therefore Kosin Arsha Zelazeh, that they would have to write Arsha one to the other to collectively collect Pishnayim, between them, But therefore the other brothers aren't going to have a chelik in the Pishnayim. But between these two, we don't have clarity in terms of who the Bechor is. So says Gemara, well, wait a second. We're going to have a machlokas about this din between the Chum and Rabbi Yehuda, whether a father is neman to be made that his son is a Bechor when another one was muchsak as a Bechor. So why does Shmuel require them to write a harsha'a? Man of Shach, ik Rabbanan Svirle. If Shmuel were to hold like the Rabbanan, lishul chaluk Rabbanan, let him paskin like the Rabbanan, that a father is not neman against the chazaka. And ik Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, lishul Rabbi Yehuda. And if he holds that a father, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a father is neman against the chazaka to identify the Bechor, so let him send a letter back to these B'nai Akadagma that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the father is neman, and that son that the father says about is the Bechor, is in fact the Bechor. So why does Shmuel get so iffy about this? It's a machlokas tanaim, let him paskin one way or the other. Why is he saying, oh, write a harshah to each other? So says Mark, because he wasn't sure. Misafkali, yik Rabbi Yehuda, yik Rabbanan. He didn't know whether we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan. So says Mark, Maihi, what's this machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? Where do we ever find that they argue about this issue? Titania, because there's a brisa that elaborates on the pasuk of Yakir. The pasuk says, Kias Abachar ben Asnua, Yakir, Lase Slo Pishnayim. That extra word Yakir, Yakirenu la Echirim, that teaches us that the father can identify who the Bechor is to other people. Mikanam Rabbi Yehuda, Neman Adam Lomer, Zebani Bechor. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, a father is believed to say, this child of mine is a Bechor, even when another child was previously muchsak as a Bechor. And just like Rabbi Yehuda says, he's believed to say, this is my Bechor son, kach neman adam lomar, zeben grusha, zeben chalutza. He's also neman to say about his son, let's say he's a Kohen, he's neman to say about his son, that one's not a Kohen, he's a ben grusha, that his mother was really a grusha. Either I divorced her and remarried her and then had this baby after the remarriage, or someone else was married to her previously and divorced her, identifies as Ben Grusha, or Ben Chalutza, that I know that the mother of this baby had a Chalitza prior to being married to me. The Ritva asks a very fundamental question. Why would the father be neman to say that the son is a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, Einat de Mesa Matzma Rasha? The only way his son could be a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza is if he married a Grusha or a Chalutza. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha or a Chalutza. So by saying that, he's saying that he violated an Aveira of marrying a Grusha or a Chalutza. So the Ritva gives three answers. It could be, he says, that he's saying, I was duped. They told me on the Shidduch resume, made no mention of a previous marriage. I married this kid's mother. I divorced her as soon as I found out, but not before we had this child who's a Ben Grusha. I did it b'shogeg. That's answer number one of the Ritva. Answer number two of the Ritva is that it's a Gzeres HaKasuv, that this is Yakir. Yakir tells me that he's believed to say that someone is a Bechor, and therefore he's also believed to say anything else about the status of his son. Sayin HaChinami, normally ain't other Mesa Masva Rasha. This is an exception to that rule, based on the pasuk. Third possibility is he's not neman legabe himself. He's only neman legabe his son, and we divide his nemanos. It's palgina nemanuso, that we say, we believe you that you married a grusha legabe your son's status. We don't believe you legabe your own status. So you don't have to divorce your wife because from as far as you're concerned, she's not a grusha because they know the mesa matzma rasha. We're not going to believe you about that. So that's how that's the understanding. So says Gemara v'chamom. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Shitas. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says Yakir tells me that a father can always identify his son as a Bechor. V'chamom eino neman. The father is not believed to identify his son as a Bechor against the Chazaka, nor to say that he's a chalal, that he's ben grusha ben chalutza. Some of them, Nachum Reizach L'Rava, Bishlam, the Rabbi Yehuda, Ainu Dixiv Yakir. I understand very well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why the pasuk has to say Yakir, to tell me this great chiddush that we're going to believe the father about the status of the son. El Rabbanan Yakir Lamali. What do the Rabbanan do with the word Yakir? It seems like an extra word in the pasuk. So Rava responds, according to the Chamim, the word Yakir teaches me that a father is Neman, that a son is a Bechor, Bitzara Chakera, when no one was Muchsak as a Bechor. He's got five sons, they look exactly the same size, the same age, the same everything. So they say, which one is your oldest? So there was no chazaka one way or the other. So he says, oh, that one, Reuven, that one is my oldest. That's what Yakir tells me that he's believed. The Mayhilfasa, why, according to the Chamim, why does it say Yakir? What's the need for it? Lemisvelo Pishnayim, what I need him to identify which one is the Bechor so that I'll know which one to give Pishnayim to, and I need the Ne'manus of the father to I need a pasuk to tell me that the father's Ne'man to make sure that the Bechor gets Pishnayim. he would be able to get Bishnayim anyway. Lo ye, without a pasuk telling me that a father has ne'emanus. Lo yehei ala acher. Ilu bayi lemisle matanim ilo yoivle. Even if it were just a random person, if he wanted to give him the Bishnayim as a matana during his lifetime, he'd be able to give it to him because he's the owner of all of his possessions, so he can give it to whoever he wants. So migo, that he's able to give his chelik b'chora as a matana to whoever he wants, so he should be ne'eman to say that the b'chora is going to be yoresh the Pishnayim. So meaning that's a fundamental rule in Din HaMamon. So you have migo, whatever I could do anyway, I could accomplish anyway without any ne'emanus, so believe me, to accomplish it through ne'emanus, I could give it to him as a matana. So it says, you couldn't necessarily have given him the full Pishnayim as a matana, because when are you going to give the matana? You can give the matana today, right? Today I'm giving this this child matana. And what if you get new possessions tomorrow? That wasn't included in the matana. That may come later on. Whereas Pishnayim is going to, whatever you owned at the time that you died, is going to be included in the Pishnayim. So it's much more inclusive when you have Pishnayim. So it says, but according to Rameir, that a person can be makna davar shloba liyolam, then what does yakir accomplish? Because I'm able to give as a matani even the things that I don't yet own. So benuchas mishnav lukshu goseis, things that even Rameir, who holds a person can be makna davar shloba liyolam, that's only if in the end of the day it's bali olam at a time where he's able to be makna it. But let's say he only gets these possessions at a time that he's already a goseis, and as a goseis he's not able to be makna it anymore, because Rosh Hashanah explains he doesn't have koach ledaber, he doesn't even have the ability to speak, so therefore he cannot be makna it at that point. So that's where we need yakir to tell me that his ne'emanus, that this one is the Bukhar, is going to entitle him to the Pishnayim of even the possessions that the father got as a goseis. Any possessions that he got prior to that, you don't need yakir. The migo already would have given the Bukhar Pishnayim in that, would give the father the ne'emanus that he's a Bukhar for the Pishnayim in that, but it's for that which he gets as a goseis. Now, final topic. To wrap up that topic. Tan Rabbanan, hayim muchzakim b'shu b'char. If we had a chazaka that one child was a b'char, v'amar aviv al acher shu b'char, and the father says about a different one that he's a b'char, ne'eman. Hayim muchzakim b'sheinu b'char. If we're muchzakim one child that he's not a b'char, v'amar aviv b'char hu, and the father says he is a b'char, eino ne'eman. He's not believed. So says Gemara, it's not a stira. Reish Rabbi Yehuda, sefer abad. It's a machlokas. The first half of this brisa is just saying the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Second half of this brisa is just saying the sheet of the Rabbanan. So it's that's why the Bryce is talking out of both sides of its mouth at the same time, because it's literally representing two divergent views in Tanaim. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Benihu v'chazav Amar Avdihu. A guy says, this guy that's with me, he's my son. And then later on he says, oh, he's my Eved. Eino Neman, he's not Neman to change his mind. Rashbam has a Gevaldik Chiddush that even B'toch Kedei Dibur, he's not Neman to change his mind. The Meiri doesn't understand why not, meaning two Edom are Neman to change their mind B'toch Kedei Dibur. You can have the highest level of Nemanus and you can still change your mind B'toch Kedei Dibur. The father with Yakir is not able to change his mind B'toch Kedei Dibur, so that's a little bit strange. So anyway, if he says B'niuv and then he says Avdihu, he's Eino Neman. If he first said that he's an Eved and then he said that it's his son, Neman, then he is believed, because we assume that it's not a hakhasha of what he had previously said. He's just elaborating. He's being mefarish what he previously said. Meaning, when I initially said Avdi, I was trying to say my son is so good to me that he serves me like an Eved would serve a master. That's all I meant. But the halacha would be flipped if this was by the tax collector. If they were passing by the tax collector where they collect the tariffs for all of your possessions, va'amar b'niyu, and he says, oh, this is my son, he's a family member, v'chazav amar avdihu, and then later after they pass the tax collector, he says, oh, he's my eved, ne'eman, he's believed, because we assume that he's just trying to be to avoid the tax, because there's a tax on possessions, and eved is a possession, there's not a tax on a child. Amar, a child is a tax credit. Amar avdihu, but if he says that this is an eved, v'chazav, but when he's in front of the tax collector, and then v'chazav then he's not going to be believed. He can't come later and say, no, I meant he serves me like an Eved. You don't brag that to the tax collector. Right? To the tax collector, you wouldn't have said that. So Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, so Mishamshu Keben, if let's say he was Mishamishim the way his son is Mishamishim father, but not like an Eved is Mishamishim master, Ubava Amar Beniyu, and then he says, he's my son, Amar Avdihu, and then he says, my Eved, Einonemun, he's not believed to change his mind, even though he's Mishamishim Keben. We don't say that you would call an Eved a Ben because he's Mishamish you like a Ben. Hayim Mishamshu Keved, but if he was Mishamish, he was Mishamish you like an Eved, Ubava Amar Avdihu, and then you said, this is my Eved, V'chazav Amar Beniyu, and then later on you change your mind, you said, he's my son, Einonemun, you're not believed, even though he was Mishamish you like an Eved. And you're not believed to say, I meant when I said he's my Eved, that he's Mishamish me like an Eved, but really he's my son. So that's against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, you are Neman to say that. That it's a reasonable thing to say about a son, that he's my Eved, and to later explain, when I said he's my Eved, I meant that he's Mishamish me like an Eved. So here you have against that which Rabbi Yochanan said. So answers the Gemara, no, it's not against Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Hasam Dekarle Avda Meitzar Ma'a. That originally you called him my Eved, that's Meitzar Ma'a. And if he wasn't your Eved, you never would have called him that. What does that mean? My Meitzar Ma'a. What kind of title is that? So it means Meitzar Avda Me'a Zuzi. This Eved is worth 100 Zuz. You know, you might call your son an Eved and then later explain that I mean he's Mishamish me like an Eved. You would never say, my son is worth about $100. Meaning you would never, you know, that you would never say that about a son. That as an Eved, he'd be worth about $100. So that a person would never speak about a son that way. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Shalach Le'eh, two lines from the bottom of the page. Have a great day.